In 1986, Carol Lee and I left Fort Wilderness after being on staff here for 6 wonderful years and having built wonderful relationships here at Fort. Our kids went to Rhinelander High School. Our son did very well. He had a strong Christian friend, and they did well. But our daughter got involved with the wrong kids. And unbeknownst to us, she began to get involved in the drug scene and the alcohol scene and so forth. And town folk knew it. We didn't. And when it became painfully apparent to us, we discovered that she was pregnant and had a child out of wedlock. And it was at that time, with all of that happening and her escapades in town and so forth, that Carol Lee and I felt it would be better for Fort for us to leave with all the embarrassment that our family would bring upon the ministry here. And so that's what led us away from Fort. We would love to have stayed, but God in His providence led us away. And for 20 years, Wendy was away from the Lord. 2 failed marriages, severe drug abuse, a lot of alcohol abuse, 2 alcoholic husbands that were abusive, and just a terrible story. But at the millennial change around 2000, as we were changing to 2001, Wendy had an experience with the Lord. She was alone in her apartment, and we had the kids, and she was just thinking and began to think about her life, and a spirit of repentance came upon her. She began to cry and got down on her knees, confessed her sins, and received Christ as her Savior. For 11 years now, she has been so on fire you would never recognize it was the same gal. And shortly after that, Carol Lee began to write the story as to what happened, and talking with Wendy, discovered that Wendy started to write it at the same time. Carol Lee was in Florida, Wendy was in Michigan. And at the same time, you know, God's prodding, they both began to write the story together. And it became a book, and it was published by Focus on the Family. And it's now a Focus on the Family tool for those that have children that they're concerned about, prodigal children, wayward children. And that book became published, and it went through a first printing, and it's now been reprinted by Focus on the Family. Carol Lee's right here. Stand up, Carol Lee, for a moment, just so they know. I'm not sure all of you have made the connection. Yeah, right. And I just say all of that because if you would like to have that book, it's called Wild Child, Waiting Mom. And Wendy's gone beyond that. She's earned her baccalaureate degree in counseling and now just finished in May her master's in counseling. And she has a ministry with young gals especially, and a ministry called Wild Child Ministries, ministering to prodigals and those that love them. And so if you would like that book, there's a sign-up sheet in the back in the foyer area by the cards where my cards are there. And so you can sign up for it, and we'd be glad to send it to you. But I just wanted to mention that to you since that was connected with Fort, and since Carol Lee was here, that she has a book, and it was co-authored by Carol Lee and by Wendy. So Wild Child, Waiting Mom is the title of the book. It seems fitting here on 4th of July that we're talking about the subject of America in prophecy. And this is a difficult subject for me because I love our country. And I really believe in what we are as a free society. But one of the number one questions in Bible prophecy is, where is America in end times? And I've entitled the series, or this session, America in the Rearview Mirror, Is America in End Time Events? It was Mark Hitchcock who wrote the book some time ago, The Late Great United States, What Prophecy Reveals About America's Last Days. And he went on to give 3 scenarios to explain America's decline. And he said America is not mentioned in the Bible, either directly or indirectly, and the silence is significant. And he said the explanation must mean that America loses its status as a major influence in the world. And since that time, there have been a number of books and articles that have come out with regard to this question, is America in prophecy? We've gone through 3 sessions now on looking at the major indicators that we are probably in the last days. I don't want to be dogmatic, but I see so many things that cause me to believe that. And I want to take today to just talk about this issue about America in prophecy. How is it possible that a great nation with global influence could become just another second-rate culture among the nations of the world? There's a lesson from history that comes to us from the decline of the British Empire. In the late 19th century, Britain ruled the world. And in 1899, they got embroiled in what was called the Boer War. Boer means farmer, South Africa. And so it was a war with the farmers of South Africa. And they lost, Britain lost 45,000 men, spent £500 million, and back in 1899, both of those were significant, and it stretched them to the breaking point. Then came World Wars I and II, which devastated Great Britain. It exhausted their economy due to military exploits and led to the decline of the empire. At one point, Britain, the sun never set on the British Empire, and Britain really ruled the world. You come over to America in the late 20th century, America has ruled the world. Since 1969, we were in Vietnam. That was a very unpopular war. And then Somalia, 1993, Black Hawk Down. And then Somalia, after that, Iraq, Desert Storm, and Iraqi Freedom. Now Afghanistan and the threat of another Middle East war. And we are stretched to the breaking point economically. Exhausted economy due to military exploits. And so there is the thought on the part of many that America is in decline as Britain was back then. Fareed Zakaria, who is a CNN commentator, he wrote a book called The Post-American World, and he makes this comparison. He says, the analogy is obvious. The United States is Britain, and the Iraq War is the Boer War, and by extension, America's future looks bleak. Whatever outcome in Iraq and Afghanistan, the costs have been massive. The United States has been overextended and distracted, its army stressed, its image sullied. Rogue states like Iran and Venezuela and great powers like Russia and China are taking advantage of Washington's inattention and bad fortunes. The familiar theme of imperial decline is playing itself out one more time. History is happening again. So what are the possible reasons for that if America is losing its place in the world? Here are a number of things that I have, first of all, I want to go through some of the biblical passages that may be, and some have thought were, references to the United States or America in prophecy, possible references to America in the Bible. And the first is, America is Babylon. Specifically New York City. It's taking the term Babylon and using it in a metaphorical sense that it refers to other than the real Babylon, but metaphorically to the United States. And that the 9/11 attack on the Twin Towers in Lower Manhattan was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 18. Let me show you the passage they use to say that America is in Bible prophecy. Revelation 18 is about Babylon, the religious perspective in chapter 17, and then the commercial and economic perspective in chapter 18. And in verse 9 of chapter 18 of Revelation, it says, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off with the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys her merchandise anymore." Those that see this as a reference to the USA say that New York City was the great commercial capital of the world. The whole world could see the smoke of its burning and on 9/11. The merchants wept over the city, and the Twin Towers were destroyed in 1 hour. So this is a reference to the United States. There are a number of prophecy experts that make that claim, and Jack Van Empe, in his book, Babylon is America, makes that claim. Jack Van Empe, by the way, tends to be quite a sensationalist, and you'll have to be careful. He has many good things, but a lot of things that are a little extended. And there are some who believe America's in prophecy. You find it in references to Babylon. But there are problems with that view. First of all, it's a spiritualizing of the text. There are some that believe that Babylon is Rome, or Babylon is Jerusalem. And nothing in the text is there to indicate that it's not literal Babylon. Mark Hitchcock in his book says, well, it's possible that the name Babylon is a code name for Rome, New York, or some other city. The text contains no indication that the name is meant to be taken figuratively or symbolically. A literal Babylon is the best interpretation, and I agree with him. So do many of the other prophecy teachers. Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins in their Left Behind series. Also Charles Dyer, who has made many trips to Babylon. In fact, I wrote a book called Iraq and the Crosshairs of Destiny, and Mark Dyer gave me a wonderful endorsement that's on that book. You can get it on our website if you would like it. Joel Rosenberg, a majority of evangelical prophecy teachers, including David Jeremiah, all of us believe that Babylon is Babylon because there is no reason to take it other than that. So many believe that there is a reference to America, but it's couched in the name Babylon, and that doesn't seem to really be legitimate. A second is in Isaiah 18. In the first two verses, there's an unnamed nation, and this is kind of far out, but I put it in to be complete, that here's another place where some say they see America. And it's a mysterious passage, and it begins, Isaiah 18, verse 1, "Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sends ambassadors to the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, Go, ye swift messengers, to a nation scattered and stripped, to a people terrible from their beginning to this time, a nation measured out and trampled down, whose land the rivers have spoiled." And so there are some Bible teachers who say that, well, the great nation beyond the river Euphrates has the insignia of wings, the U.S. insignia of the eagle. There's a great maritime power somewhere in the far west, seems to be indicated. A land divided by rivers, and that's our land, you know, the rivers Mississippi, Ohio, Tennessee, Missouri, Columbia rivers, there, you know, our country's divided by rivers. And a land measured out, and our country sure is. In states and cities and countries, counties, and we're all measured out. So they say this is a reference to America. Jack Van Empe jumped on this bandwagon as well. But there's not one shred of evidence either here. Isaiah 18, verses 1 to 2, is God's warning to the Cushites to get in their boats and head back home and not form an alliance with the Assyrians. In verse 3, God promised that when it was time for the Assyrians to fall, he himself would destroy them for all to see. If someone wants to find American Bible prophecy, they'll really have to look somewhere else other than Isaiah 18. So that's another place people go to say, well, America's in Bible prophecy. The third and really last is the young lions of Tarshish, and that's in Ezekiel 38. And that's that great passage on the Gog of the land of Magog, invasion of Israel with Persia and other nations. And there are certain nations mentioned there which are against that invasion. They don't do anything to help. They simply criticize what's happened. And there's a place called Tarshish. And it says in verse 13 of Ezekiel 38, Sheba and Dedan, those are tribes in Saudi Arabia, and the merchants of Tarshish with all its young lions shall say unto you, Are you come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? And so they just ask questions, you know. But it's Tarshish and its young lions. Well, Tarshish is the land beyond the Gibraltar, the Strait of Gibraltar. If you go to the Mediterranean Sea, go way to the west by Spain and Morocco, and there's a strait there called the Strait of Gibraltar. And the merchants would come down from the east side of Europe, basically Britain, and down through the Straits of Gibraltar into the Mediterranean, and they would trade in the Middle East. And so this was Tarshish. If you read the book of Jonah, Jonah was going to get on a boat when he was running from God to go as far away from Nineveh as he could go, and he got on a boat going to Tarshish. And that's the farthest known area they knew of to go through the Straits of Gibraltar. And it seems to be a reference to Great Britain. And Great Britain was a great colonizing empire. And the United States is an offshoot of Great Britain, as is Canada, and Australia, and New Zealand, and South Africa, and they had influence all over the world. And so many see this, the young lions, as a reference to America. And Mark Hitchcock in his book says the young lions of Tarshish could be a reference to the colonies that emerged from Europe, including the United States. If this is true, the Ezekiel's young lions of Tarshish describes the last days United States, joining with its European and Saudi Gulf states allies to lodge a formal complaint, a protest, against the Russian Islamic aggressors. So they say, well, here's a reference to the United States. He goes on to say, well, I do not believe that the young lions of Tarshish refer to the United States. I believe that of all the specific passages in the Bible that could refer to the United States, this is by far the best one. So that's it, folks. Pretty anticlimactic, right? You say, whoa, that's it? Yeah, that's it. There really is no other passage in the Bible that seems to have a reference to the great Western power across the sea. So, why is the United States absent? Even though America's been the world's superpower economically and socially and militarily for the last 67 years since 1945, there's no biblical indication that she has a significant presence in the end time. There's a recent book that just came out, and I'm still trying to process it. I've read it. It's called The Harbinger. And it was on the book table yesterday in the foyer, and many have read it. And wherever I go, I've been asked the question, have you read The Harbinger? And it's an interesting book written in the form of a novel, but about a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10. And Jonathan Cahn, who is the author, he uses the prophecy in Isaiah and applies it to 9/11 attack in New York City, much like Jack Van Empe did with Revelation 18. But Jonathan Cahn is not saying Isaiah was prophesying about America. The prophecy is clearly about the Assyrian invasion of Israel. That's the interpretation of that prophecy. He's simply applying the principles of Israel turning from God and what happened to Israel to the United States and what happened at 9/11. And he has some amazing coincidences, which seem to go beyond coincidental. And it's quite an interesting read, but it's more of an application of principle than it is an interpretation of biblical text. So you might want to read it. It's an interesting book, and he's a wonderful Jewish believer from New Jersey, and Jonathan Cahn, and it's really it's becoming a national bestseller because of the hype that it's being given. But at any rate, here's the conclusion. America's not in Bible prophecy directly, at least. So, what are the reasons that could possibly be that America declines in its importance with regard to world stature? And so I've suggested, and so have others, and I've added some things, but America's not among the prominent nations of the last days. This is no longer Israel's protector in Ezekiel 38, no longer a military presence in global affairs, and ceases to be the foundation of the global economy. And so it does seem that America is in some sort of decline when it comes to biblical end-time events. Possible reasons for America's absence. Number one, the accelerating moral decay of the American culture. If this analysis is correct, the America's absence from the prophetic picture of end times means that America is no longer a strategic presence in the world during the last days, and our accelerated moral decay may be one of the answers or reasons. We went through 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5 yesterday. When people become lovers of self and lovers of money and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and that really does seem to describe our culture, and that culture will experience perilous times. But the passage that's more important, I believe, in terms of an analysis of the culture is Romans chapter 1. You might want to turn there, and I'd like to read a number of the verses from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 is basically about the depravity of mankind, how depraved we really are, which is why we need to be saved, and the whole of the first part of Romans is developing that scenario that we're really not just bad off, we are dead in trespasses and sins and need a miracle to be made alive, in Christ. And so we are depraved. But I want you to see some of the things that God says, beginning in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth or hold down the truth in unrighteousness." Skipping down to verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore," conclusion now, "wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then it goes into two verses about the gay lifestyle. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up," second time he says it, "unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was fitting." And so here is really a concentration. There are many other things that are said, but there's a lot said about this being an indicator of the total corruption of a society when it begins to have this kind of scenario. That's what the Bible says. And in verse 28, God says it the third time. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up," or God gave them over, "to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not seemly." Verse 32, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So, America, what is happening to America? Well, we used to have a very strong moral stand. Not that everybody was moral. There's been sin in America from the founding of the country. But there was a basic moral structure of America. And that seems to have been eroded to the point where there's only pockets of morality anymore, and the majority of the culture are living their indulgent lifestyles. 50% of births today are out of wedlock. In 1960, 439,000 couples were cohabiting, not marrying. In 2000, it was 4 million, 0.85, almost 5 million cohabiting couples. In 40 years, it had raised 1,000%. Porn is norm. It's a $12 billion a year pornography industry, more than the NBA, NHL, NFL, and professional baseball combined. 50 million abortions have taken place since 1973. And the Center for Disease Control says that only that between 12 and 20% are not even reported. Homosexual marriage is now legal in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, Maine, Iowa, the District of Columbia, New Hampshire, Maryland, and now New York State. And it's growing, and our president just came out recently saying he was in favor of that, which was big news. It was reported on all the channels, and so this is where we're headed, it seems. The Liberal Congress and our present administration, with its liberal media, have committed America, I believe, to an irreversible, almost, perhaps, debauchery. It can never get better, many believe. It can only get worse. And when that happens, Romans 1 says, God just gives you up. Now, God's blessings are wonderful, and we have been the recipients of the blessings of God beyond our wildest dreams. But God doesn't have to directly punish us. He just has to take his blessing off. He just has to give you up so that there is the natural attrition of what you have caused, that your sin has its consequences. Three times in Romans 1, verse 24, 26, and 28, God gave them up. The judgment of God on America is simply the decaying consequences of sin. I had a great professor in my seminary experience that I highly revered, one of the finest exegetical theologians that I ever knew. His name was Dr. S. Lewis Johnson. And he made this statement. He said, "Today, films, plays, clubs, even churches and ministers apologize for and even glorify the unnatural practices that the Bible speaks about both here and elsewhere," speaking of Romans 1. "I'd like for you to notice carefully what Paul is saying. He's not saying that we are in danger of judgment. That is not Paul's theory at all. He is saying that these things we are talking about, the spread of immorality, the spread of sexual sin against God, the spread of violence, the spread of crime, are the judgment of God. It is not that we are in danger of judgment, it is that these things are the judgment of God. So our civilization is not in danger of contracting a fatal disease. Our civilization has already contracted a malignant and fatal cancer through its unbelief in the message of God in Christ. And we are hurrying on to the climactic destruction of that which is to come. So the moral decline or decay of the American culture, that could very well bring us under the release of the blessings of God to inherit the consequences of our behavior. And those of us that believe in Christ will be collateral damage, I'm sure, as many other cultures. There have been believers who have had to deal with that situation, even in the days of Israel's captivity, where Jeremiah is crying over the destruction of Jerusalem, and there were many believers who were there, but they were taken into captivity as well. So we have to deal with that idea. Well, maybe the United States isn't going to be in end time prophecy because we have become an unworthy people. Second, America's looming economic meltdown. You know about that one, right? All painfully aware of America's economic jeopardy. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were just, the housing crisis was just a tip of the iceberg, and the domino effect was incredible to watch. Banks and businesses going under at an alarming rate, stimulus money, political paybacks and government subsidy bailouts and obscene loans, the whole thing was insane. And so what's the answer? Well, print more money. And it's money with no substance, money with no backing. That really creates, ultimately, inflation. And the national debt is threatening the collapse of the country. There's a website called U.S. National Debt Clock. And you can go to it on the net, the debt clock. And as of March 24th, last time I looked at it, the debt was $15,591,510,174,263. Now, that's a pretty big number. And it's increasing because of the interest on the debt. Our debt is increasing by $4.02 billion a day. And I can't get my head around those kind of numbers. But I ran across, you know, I started to think, and I ran across something that I said, well, maybe this helps us get around that kind of a number. And I was thinking of a second. A second's pretty quick, right? Boom, and it's gone, right? How many days are 1 million, just 1 million seconds? Well, it's 12 days. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. That's only 1 trillion. We are almost $16 trillion in debt. We're moving toward a global economy, and the U.S. debt is taking us that way. And when the G20 met in April of 2009 in London, there was a quote from Prime Minister Gordon Brown of Britain that I thought was interesting, and their goal was to establish a global economic system. The euro's in trouble, the dollar's in trouble, they're all thinking about how can we solve all of this, and probably the end result will be a more global kind of system. I think that's where our administration right now is trying to take us with Europe into this global system. And it was British Prime Minister Gordon Brown who said, "The days of U.S. primacy are gone. Global problems require global solutions." So that's really what they're trying to figure out, the global solution. And we will become part of that, America becoming subservient to the global community, particularly Europe. So with the nationalization of our healthcare system, we've added enormous entitlement programs. The European countries are going bankrupt because of the socialization and entitlements, and our administration is taking America down the same road. It's really a sad situation, but here is one other reason why we may not be the prime nation that we have been, because we will simply fit in with the rest rather than be the strong nation that America has been. There's a third one, and that is the threat of natural disaster, either natural or nuclear. Natural disasters, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, volcanic eruptions, oil spills, hurricanes. We've seen the devastating effect that can have upon our culture and our economy. And I gave you this quote the other day on the UN Environmental Program study. Since the 1980s, weather-related hazards such as major floods have increased by as much as 350%, and those from windstorms have doubled. You remember how Katrina just really shut down a lot of America. It was so devastating and so forth. Any combination of natural catastrophes could cripple the U.S. economically and environmentally. But then beyond that, there's the nuclear threat. And I don't like to think about this, and you probably don't either, so I should probably shut up. But I'm going to tell you about it. It's the nuclear threat. The threat of nuclear event in America by terrorists is a formidable possibility. George Tenet, former CIA director, possibility of a New York nuclear event. George Tenet, former CIA director, said, I do know one thing in my gut. Al-Qaeda is here in the United States and waiting. They understand that bombings by cars, trucks, trains, and planes will get them some headlines, to be sure. But if they manage to set off a mushroom cloud, they will make history. My deepest fear is that this is exactly what they intend. Consider a few things. For instance, Al-Qaeda has begun to recruit non-Arab jihadists, people that are Asian or African in descent, and we profile Arab young men. But they are now using other nationalities to get around that. Our president, our administration, is not committed to strong border security. And, of course, we have an immigration concern, and that's a big problem. But that's not the real problem. It's the porous borders allow the possibility of intruding terrorists to come in and to bring and do, bring what they want and do what they do. And so that's the greater threat, perhaps, of the porous borders, even more than just immigration problem. Access to nuclear material is becoming easier. The Taliban is threatening Pakistan. And president of Pakistan, anyway, he has been greatly concerned that the Taliban will overrun Pakistan. In fact, they want to call Islamabad Talibanistan. But there is a nuclear arsenal of 55 weapons or warheads in Pakistan. And if they get control of that, then that becomes a serious problem for the world. Two-thirds of Russia's 600 metric tons of bomb-ready nuclear material remains unsecured ever since the decline of the Russian empire. North Korea is exporting nuclear material and intelligence to rogue groups. They've been one of the suppliers of Iran. They're now trying to supply Burma, who is trying to become a nuclear country. Iran is committed to the destruction of the U.S., which they call the Great Satan. And all of this is just the fact that the possibility of WMD, weapons of mass destruction event, by terrorists in an American city is high. A dirty bomb, radioactive material, biological bomb, even an EMP event, electromagnetic pulse, are you familiar with that and what can happen? There's a really interesting book called One Second After, and the foreword's written by Newt Gingrich, and it's not a Christian book, but it heralds exactly what would happen in America if there is an EMP. It's not nuclear device detonated on the ground, but way up in the air, that cuts out all electronic possibilities, shuts down every computer and all cars would stop and all that. I mean, it's just really quite amazing. And our country has not taken that real seriously. There are some who do, and they're crying out for legislation to deal with that. But at any rate, that's a possibility. And so all of this, it seems like scare tactic. Wow, what are you trying to do on the 4th of July? Scare us to death? Well, not really. But just to think of the possibilities, because America is not in biblical prophecy, which seems to be significant. And so what could bring that demise where it's no longer a major influence on world affairs? And these are some of the possibilities. But I've added another that others don't, and that's America's withdrawal of support from Israel. It's a biblical scenario. And God says in Genesis 12, he said to Abraham, in Genesis 12 and verse 3, Abraham, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And over the centuries, you can read the biblical accounts. It happened there. You can see it in the national affairs as history records it for us, that the view of Israel and the view of the Jewish people has been very significant in either the prospering or the declining of a culture. a divine principle of international affairs. And America, I believe, has been a blessed nation beyond our wildest dreams, maybe because we have been a sanctuary for Jews and a blessing to the state of Israel. But all of that is changing. Europe has a major Islamic immigration, turning them into a very pro-Arab entity, and the United States seems to be following suit with our present administration. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. In 2008, there were over 9 million. Some say 7 million, but I read some statistics of 9 million. There's been an exponential growth of that. And our president in 2007, June, when he was a candidate for president, said America is no longer a Christian nation. He said that in his election campaign. Then 2 years later, 2009 in June, he was addressing Cairo, Egypt, Muslims, and he said, you might say that America is a Muslim nation. We now have over 1,200 mosques in America. And so here is this emphasis on Islam, and then a corresponding negation of our relationship with Israel. We are only making demands and limitations and criticisms for Israel. Our administration gave the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, the red carpet when he came, and he's a Taliban sympathizer. But when President Benjamin Netanyahu was here, he was snubbed originally, not in the most recent visit, but earlier, by our president. So perhaps more than anything else, this will be America's undoing. You can go back and see this in Britain, that Britain turned its back on Israel at the end of the Second World War, turned its back on the Balfour Declaration, which they had made in 1917, and they turned it over to the UN and said, we want nothing more to do with Israel. And the UN partitioned it, and the Jews declared that they were a state, and five Arab countries immediately invaded them, and they had to fight for their survival alone. Britain would not help them, and neither did the United States, other than perhaps in sending certain supplies and so forth in that way. But Britain turned its back, and it was after World War II that Britain went into decline. No longer a world power, it had turned its back on Israel, and that's happened historically with many nations throughout the country. Well, these are some of the reasons. Four reasons: accelerating moral decline, looming economic meltdown, threat of national crisis, withdrawal of support from Israel. There's a new book by Joel Rosenberg. I'm not sure if you've read it. It's called Implosion. And Can America Survive Its Economic Spiritual Challenges of Time? And he has a chapter 3 on the case of the optimists. He says, not all Americans think America is going into decline. Nor do all Americans believe we're facing implosion. What's more, they fiercely maintain that their belief that America is poised for a historic renaissance. They argue the greatest days are still ahead. And then he proceeds to unveil the reasons why America is in serious decline. So not everyone believes that, but most Bible teachers that I see do. I'm going to have to skip over some of the other things on your notes there. America beginning to experience God's judgment. Billy Graham saying if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's direct judgment will happen twice, once by water, second by fire. And it's the principle of sowing and reaping that is really the concern today. We have sown, and now we seem to be reaping. But I want to get on to the end and just in principle, say this. What do we do? What's the Christian's response? Well, there are three things that I think. Walk with the Lord and trust His love. It was Erwin Lutzer, the pastor of Moody Church, even when the church appears to lose, Christ wins. And if we know that and we believe that that's our hope. It was Peter Marshall, chaplain of the U.S. Senate years ago, that said, it's better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. And that's where we are with the Christian church. So walk with the Lord and trust His love. Share the gospel as a primary focus of life. Everybody's concerned about this stuff, not just us. Everybody is. So there's a starting conversation for you. And if you have some information and have read some of these things and you understand some of these things, you can begin to share them with people and to help them realize that only in Christ is there any stability, any hope in the long run. So share the gospel as a primary focus of life, and then fellowship regularly with other believers. There are so many Christians today that play the Lone Ranger, and they really don't think they need the body of Christ. They don't belong, they just attend. And they're not contributing, they're just using. And you don't want to be that. And when times get tough, and if we do go into this kind of a scenario of decline in America, for whatever reason, and it could be none of those reasons and maybe other reasons, but I think there'll be contributing factors in all of those, that if we go into that kind of a period, you are going to need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that the body of Christ is your survival team. A lot of talk about survival today, but it's the body of Christ that is your survival team. The gospel is growing by leaps and bounds in Red China. And the reason is because the underground church has developed the whole concept of body life. They care for one another, and when the Chinese people see that, they are attracted to Christ, and Chinese by the thousands are coming to Christ because of the underground church. We are not all this doom-gloom stuff. You know, we're not talking about the fact that we're done in and we better just throw up our hands and quit. No, this is just a call to be committed, and we become all that we should be. Just remember that when the gospel was first given in the early church, there was the Roman Empire, and there was no governmental appreciation for the gospel. There were no manger scenes in the town square. You know, there was no prayer in the schools, no Bible reading in the schools. There were no Ten Commandments hanging in the walls of the courthouses. And yet, the Thessalonian believers, the Thessalonian officials, the government officials of Thessalonica, with regard to the Christians, said, "Who are these people that are turning the world upside down? We don't need all that cooperation. We're not dependent on the government. We're not dependent on society. We're not dependent on agreement on the part of governmental officials. All we're dependent on is the power of the Spirit of God and the glory of Christ and the sovereignty of our wonderful God, and we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And so we need to believe that. So, gone over a little time here. I didn't get on till late. I've got to remember that. So, anyway, sorry for that, but let's have a word of prayer and we'll go. Father, thank you for your word. And again, as we talk about our country, it's so hard to think these kinds of things because we have appreciated so much what you have done in our country. Ever since the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate today, Father, we have been a country, we've had our times and turmoils and difficulties, and many of them have been overcome. But Father, we're facing situations today unprecedented in our union. But Father, we are seeing the decline of America in so many ways. And Father, I pray that there will be a resurgence of revival in our own heart, and believing the saying that it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And maybe in our community, we can be that spark. And maybe that community can become a spark for the rest of the area and spread. And maybe, Father, there could be a revival in America. God, we pray, Father, that you will continue to have your blessing upon us, but that, Father, you will bring us to the point of humble recognition of our sinfulness and a repentant spirit so that we might recognize that only you are God in the universe and Christ is the only Savior. Bless us as we go, as we think these thoughts today. In Jesus' name, amen.